Peter and Andrew and James and John, their families worked together in the fishing business that they did on the Sea of Galilee. And, you know, these men were not pushovers or pantywaists by any means. They were tough fellows. You don't fish for a living and be not strong and not rough in that. And the Lord saved these fellows and called them. And I think John is just overwhelmed by that. I think it's something certainly that changed him, as it should. Anybody that is saved is changed by the Lord. And so John writes, he's used of the Lord to write the Gospel of John, which we know that. He's also used by the Lord to write the book of the Revelation there on the Isle of Patmos. But then he has these three epistles also, and I've entitled this series of messages, John's Encouragement and Warning to the Saints. John's Encouragement and Warning to the Saints. The epistle of 1 John is also one, and I believe this is true, if anyone would be struggling about their salvation, are you saved? You have struggles with that. And anybody is subject to have doubts. We get our eyes off the Lord like Brother Peter. We can have doubts and we can have trouble. We listen to the flesh. We listen to the world. We can have doubts with that and trouble with that. And 1 John is known and prescribed as a book that will help us to understand the witness of the Lord within us, the desire of a changed heart and a saved person, and those things that are brought forward. The emphasis here in the passage and in the Scripture and in the Word of God, but also in this book, is that what we know and what we believe. Feelings will lead us astray because our bodies and our minds are not saved. And not that we're to be stoic, not that we're to be without emotion, because good things of the Lord will cause emotion to spring forth. We are human beings and we are emotional creatures. But emotion is not salvation. Faith in the Lord Jesus and understanding what we believe, what we know about Him, what we trust in Him about, that is where salvation is understood and found. And by knowing those things, the Lord writes to us and uses our brother to write these things into us, we can have assurance, not assurance from self, but assurance from the Lord. And so I'm thankful that the Lord has done this and provided such for us. And so we'll point things out as we go along in these studies and in these messages. Brother John starts off, and it seems that it is this way with him. He's been touched and affected by the things that he has heard, by the things that he has seen, by his knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. And when he writes, he's hung on to some things that he has heard from the Lord Jesus. He's heard from the scriptures. And we see it here in the beginning of this book, that which was from the beginning. Brother John knew what Genesis 1:1 said about the Lord in his creation. In the beginning, God. And then when he starts off in John chapter 1, he speaks about the very same thing. Let's read this verse. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard. So we have heard him with our ears. We have heard him with our heart, and that's what's needed. That's what the point is and the desire is that men, women, boys, and girls would hear the Lord from their heart. Brother Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, in regards to being baptized. He said, what holds me back from being baptized? Well, do you believe? Do you believe with all your all in the Christ that is preached, that he preached unto him there from Isaiah 53? The things that he did, the things that he suffered, the thing that he accomplished? Do you believe that he did that for you? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. John was blessed of the Lord. All the prophets, looking to see, looking to understand, they were used of the Lord and wrote down prophecy about Messiah, but they never saw him. They saw him through the eyes of faith and to the extent that they could understand the scriptures in the day that they wrote it. They saw him through the eyes of faith. They knew and understood some about what the Lord would do. But Brother John was one that was there, seeing it unfold and being chosen of the Lord for that office and to be one of those first disciples of the Lord and being called to be an apostle, that transition team to be used of the Lord after the resurrection and going forward in the work of the Lord in his church. He said, we've seen him with our eyes, eyewitness, and we have looked upon him as they traveled about with the Lord Jesus Christ. How was it? What was it? What was their reaction? Do you think that the apostles ever became bored at the messages and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think so. I don't venture that they did. And the thing is, you know, John wrote, he tells us in his gospel that if everything was written about the Lord Jesus Christ, the world wouldn't be able to contain the books. Now, they are men, but the preaching of the Lord, you know, as our brother pointed out here this past Sunday, will you also go away? Peter answered for the 12. Well, he answered for the 11. Judas is there. He's not going to leave because he has other interests. Will you also go away? Peter says in summary, he said, there's nobody else to go to. What you say, you've got the words of life and you are the life. John says, we've heard him. We've seen him with our eyes, and we have looked upon him, and our hands have handled. We've touched him. We'll take a look about that here in a moment. Of the Word of Life. Turn over your Bibles, if you wish, to John chapter 1. We read quickly here how John writes his first, I would take it to be his first book, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God the Son, come in the flesh. The same was in the beginning with God. From eternity, he always has been. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Very much in line with what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Colossians. All things were made by him. He's the creator. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And Jesus is life. And Jesus is light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I want us to remember that about darkness. Darkness is defined as the absence of light. And that's the condition of the world. That's the condition of men. That's the condition of souls, sinful, wicked, and depraved. And our Lord Jesus came, and he shines the light. Still does shine the light. I try to be mindful of that, and not to be picky, but just to be to emphasize the point, to speak in the present tense about our Lord, because he is present. He is right now. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, verse 5, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's how bad our condition is in and of ourselves. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, one of his names, capital L, that all men through him might believe. This John here is John the Baptist. Not John the Apostle writing, but John the Apostle is writing, and he's mentioned here about John the Baptist. He came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. We'll take a look about that here in a moment. That all through him might believe. Salvation is only found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Anything, everything else, it has nothing to do with salvation. But the Lord is the giver, the accomplisher, the bringer, the worker of salvation. To bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, speaking of John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If a person is going to be illuminated, it's going to be by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the world, our Lord Jesus. He became a man, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Contradiction of sinners against himself. He came into his own, the nation of Israel, and his own received him not. The terribleness of sin, wickedness, and depravity amongst mankind. The blindness, the spiritual blindness. The spiritual adulterous ways of mankind in their sin blinded off even to be able to see and understand the Savior. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus and faith in him. That's it. That's it. We have more insight here that John writes about, which were born not of blood. You're not born into salvation by who your daddy and mama is. It's good to have a father and a mother that is saved, that can be a witness to their children. It's a great blessing to have such. But we're not saved by who we're born to, which are born not of blood nor the will of the flesh. I can't save you as bad as I want you to be saved. I can't save you. If I could, I would have done so when I first met you. But I can't. Which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. You know what? You can't save yourself either. That's the reason that religion will not work. Because it's of men. But of God. Which were born of God. God's way. God's Savior. God's message. God's Spirit, God's Word, all manifested unto us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason His name is the Word. That's the reason His name is the Light. That's the reason He's the only begotten of the Father, the Son of God, the Son of Man. It's Him and you and your sin. And no other, nothing else enters into it. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And what's John write? And we beheld His glory. We looked on Him. We saw His glory. The magnificence of it. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. Our Lord Jesus was gracious in coming. Our Lord Jesus was gracious in wanting to come. Our Lord Jesus was gracious in what He did on Calvary. Our Lord Jesus was gracious in being the Word and sending the Word. Our Lord Jesus has been gracious in sending His messengers, His preachers, His children with the Word to others. Our Lord Jesus has been gracious in dealing with men and women all using the marker of His coming in the flesh. And all those people we see in the Old Testament about God, He is His working amongst them and in their lives, even caring about them. And writing down the account that we can know that God cares about mankind and God has made a way that mankind can be redeemed unto Himself. God has been gracious, the Lord has been gracious unto us, and that He's created us and given us life and made a way that we can have fellowship with our Creator through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been gracious to us in that He made us a very nice place to live. Impossible for mankind to even scratch the surface of accomplishing. You know, personally, I don't think we're ever going to make it to Mars. But if we do, it isn't going to be anything like this. It'll be like living in a tin can. And then I think that if we would make it there, mankind would make it to Mars, I think those that arrive there will say, why in the world have we come here? It's just a big distraction. Our Lord was gracious in that He thought about us and considered about us before He even created the first thing. He thought about mankind, and He thought about a people in particular before there even was a world. The graciousness of the Lord, considering it, making His plan and His work an impossible thing that you and I couldn't even begin to think about working on. And you know what He does? He brings it to pass. Full of grace. And He's full of truth too, isn't He? That's what John says. He is the truth. You deny the Lord Jesus Christ, you deny everything that is true. That's the society that we have, the culture that we have in our day. If you can stomach watching the news for a little bit, you see that truth is being kicked, stomped, trampled. Truth is spoken in statistics. Truth is spoken about principle. Truth is spoken about the origins and the beginnings of our country. Truth is spoken about the law. Truth is just spoken about the kindness that we ought to have one to another as mankind. And it's totally, totally rejected. I mean, we're seeing depravity indeed fester up in our society, in our culture. And you know what? All involved with such a thing will indeed deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. You know, John heard the Lord Jesus Christ come and preach. He saw His compassion towards the multitudes. He heard the call of the Lord to come and follow Him. For John and Peter and Andrew and the rest to come and follow Him. He saw the anger and vehemence of the Lord with the leadership that chewed up His people in Israel. And every time the Lord Jesus opened His mouth, He spoke the truth. Every time. He said a lot of things straight on the Sermon on the Mount, didn't He? A lot of things we think this, but the Lord says, here's the way it really is. And so we come back to 1 John chapter 1. And John says, we've seen Him. We've looked upon Him. The Word of life. He says that our hands have handled. I invite you to turn over to Luke chapter 24. Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. The Lord Jesus has risen from the dead. Early there, I believe, in the day, beginning around 6 p.m., which would be their Sunday, their first day of the week. For you and I, it's about sunset Saturday as in the way that we account time. He's risen from the dead. He's got the things that he has to do and that. And later on in that day, that first day of the week, we see this of our Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 24. In verse number 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. because they're going to be sore afraid seeing His person. Like the brother mentioned Sunday, Jesus just shows up. And that's just being people. That would be our reaction. And so He deals with that right off, said, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, verse 37, and supposed that they had seen a spirit, or as we would say in our vernacular, a ghost. And He said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He even knows what we think. what they thought. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. Touch my hand. Put your finger in the hole. As it says in other parts of the gospel, take your hand and thrust it into my side. Didn't he say that to Brother Thomas the next Sunday? And see, for a spirit or a ghost hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. As the brother pointed out also, that he said, well, it says here in this passage, in verse 41, they were believed not for joy. I mean, they're just, they've been told it. It's happened, just like the Lord said. And he says, you have any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, verse 42, and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat it before them. And he said, this is what I told you. I told you this. Now, as a child of God, is that just a historical fact for you and I to know, or does that encourage you? That encourages me. That stirs me up. I pray that wouldn't be that this would be a boring about our Lord and what He has done. I think we can hear in Brother John's words here in 1 John chapter 1 that he is excited about this. That he wants to relay this to the saints. That he wants to remind them of things that they know and things that maybe even some of them were there and had seen. To be an encouragement, remember our Lord and what He has done and our experience with Him. A side point in verse number 2 of 1 John 1:1. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, which was manifested unto us. I mention this to you from time to time, and it's a great encouragement to me as we meet here tonight. As we meet here tonight, they're talking about us in heaven. There's no level grade A churches and grade B churches and grade C churches. There's the Lord's churches. And we have our blessings and we have our problems because it's us, because we're made out of people. And we need to continue to pray, Lord, to help us and help us with being a people, being a person, and put away sin out of our lives and to draw near unto our Lord. But listen to what John says here. He says, the word of life. He is the word of life, which he is. Out of his lips flow the words of life. He is life. For the life, Jesus, was manifested, shown forth, as had never been shown before in that day. He became a man, became flesh and blood. John said, we touched him, we heard him. We saw the prints of the nails in his hands and in his feet and the spear that pierced his side. He is the word of life. And as a side note in verse number 2, for the life was manifested, the life was shown. And who is the life? Is this a concept or a principle? No, it's the person of the Lord Jesus. The life was manifested, and of all people we have seen it. It was manifested unto us. And we are blessed to bear witness of it. We have seen Him. He is alive. And He's done these things for us. And because of that, we show unto you that eternal life. And as the Lord's children, that's the testimony and witness that we are to have, isn't it? That we have seen the life. We have the life has been manifested unto us, and we need to show that unto others. And he says, I want to show that unto you, that eternal life. He's talking about the Lord Jesus, which was with the Father before he came, and was manifested, a double emphasis, manifested, revealed unto us. Unto us. the Lord used that little old church that may have had, we can discuss and quarrel not too heatedly about how many was in that church and when, but comparison to the population of Jerusalem, it was little. Even if there were 1,000 members, it was little. And he came and appeared that night, that evening, on that first day of the week, unto them. Not the high priest, not the elders and rulers of Israel, not the Roman government, not Herod and his crowd, but unto them, his little flock, that he would use, sanction, and empower on Pentecost to go and do his work until he comes back. He was manifested unto us. You know, he's been manifested to us, hadn't he? We believe that. This of our membership at Olmsted Baptist Church, I mean, is that just, are we just kind of filling in a plug here and checking off a list and getting something accomplished? Or is this the biggest, not the biggest thing in our lives? And not to take away from spouse, not to take away from children, not to take away from family and job and all those things that are essential in life. But doesn't our Lord and what he's done for us influence, drive, and work in all the rest, all of it being in its right place? It's not a hobby, is it? Not a hobby. It's not a side thing. But our Lord has been manifested unto us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. He's come now, and speaking of this about our life, the Lord being our life, as it says in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He goes in verse 3 and he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. I'm telling you again in this epistle. Why? That ye also may have fellowship with us. You know, we all come from all different walks of life, different experiences, childhood experiences, family experiences, work backgrounds, different training, education, experiences in all the work that we do, the hobbies and things that we like. And the Lord has saved us and taken us and put us together to complement one another, to be a complement to this body that he has put us together in. And we have fellowship together with one another and our Lord. We have fellowship primarily or first with our Lord because of salvation and this calling into his church. And because of that, we have fellowship one with another. He said, what we have heard and what we've seen, I declare that unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's reiterated and told again what the Lord Jesus is unto us. He is our beginning and he is our life. He has been manifested unto us under the salvation of our souls. And he says, I want to remind you of that. I want to declare that unto you, that we might have continued fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father. And our fellowship is with his Son, Jesus Christ. How is our personal fellowship with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? How is our collective fellowship with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? John says, I write these things that your fellowship may be increased, that your fellowship would be with one another. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. See, religion doesn't even touch that, does it? Oh, religion might make some friendships and some very close acquaintance and such as that in a body and an organization. But this of being saved and rescued by the Lord, having fellowship with Him because He has saved us and rescued us, and then He has saved and rescued another, and He's put us together in this body. And what's that make us? Brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that nothing will ever break such a bond. Nothing will break it. And members of the same body in the same church. For you and I, it goes beyond a sibling relationship, but we are members of the same body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what fellowship we have. That's the reason that the supper is just for us. Because we're members of this body in particular, having this fellowship with and in our Lord. And these things, verse 4, write we unto you that your joy may be full. There's a lot of things I mentioned about the news earlier, and there's a lot of things on the news that will make you and I unjoyful. It's frankly, it's sad. It's depressing. It can and will get us down if we let it. But we need not forget to pray unto our Lord to work in these things and to help us, that iniquity beginning seemingly to abound more and more, that we would not wax cold in our love. Our love for the Lord, our love one for another, our love for our neighbors and our family members and those not saved round about us. These things write we, a reminder, maybe you haven't, as John would write, he said, maybe you haven't thought about these things. Maybe you're saved and you're new in the faith. I'm writing these things unto you that you might know them and that your joy might be maybe full. What is it that our Lord says about this of joy? Well, we come back here to the Gospel of John. See, John heard these things. See, these things stuck in his mind. For the speaking about the human standpoint, the spirit of the prophet being subject to the prophet, and these things, when the Lord said that, it stuck in his heart and his mind. In John chapter 15. We read here, verse number 9 of John 15, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We've dealt with this passage recently. The example the Lord gives us, he abides in the Father's love by obeying the Father. That's the example unto us. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, this about obedience, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Now, our joy is subject to not be full. Our Lord Jesus' joy is always full. He's always obedient. See, disobedience by the child of God, because in the Spirit of God living within, will bring misery and guilt. Grief of the spirit that lives within. Once being saved, we can't shuck the Spirit of God that lives within. He will be a gnawing unto us when we understand the truth about any point or anything in life. And it will bring guilt and it will bring shame when we learn about the obedience that we should be following after, and we don't, it will be a grief within us. Oh, there may be things about it we will deny. There may be things that we might say are not convenient. There may be things that we say, well, my circumstance and my situation just doesn't allow me to follow that. But the Spirit of God is not going to be happy with it. And when the Word of God is brought to us and the truth is revealed unto us, and we don't obey, our joy will be compromised. These things have I spoken unto you about my obedience and your obedience, Those are the things that he's spoken here most connected to this verse. I've spoken these things unto you. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Your joy may not be full, but it can be in obedience to our Lord. We come over here to John chapter 16, the next chapter. John remembers these things spoken by our Lord Jesus regarding such. We come here to verse number 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And so a promise given unto us about bringing our petition to the Lord. Look at verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow because of the things that the Lord is telling them about his death and his going away. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And when they saw the Lord, what did it say over there in Luke? For joy. They didn't know what to think. They were glad to see him as it became more evident that he was physically there and not a ghost. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Jesus has been their master, their rabbi, their instructor, their teacher. And now he is giving them understanding of the Father, who I pray unto, is the one that you need to bring your petition to in my name. Relationship and understanding about that. See, Jesus has been the focus all the time of his ministry, and well, he should be. But now, as Jesus is going away, gives the church the promise of the work of the Comforter, he turns their attention also unto the Father to pray as they heard him so many times pray. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. They always ask Jesus. Ask. What's implied? Ask the Father, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And so he tells them here and brings this out unto them about asking the Father, and the care of the Father unto us in Jesus' name will be a filling of our joy. We've got someone in heaven that cares for us. And from the standpoint of God being one, he cares for his children. And the standpoint of the Lord being the triune God, the Father and the Son cares for us, and indeed the Holy Spirit does too, doesn't he? And then we come over here to John 17 and our Lord's prayer in John 17. And listen here. John has said, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. In chapter 17, our Lord Jesus prays unto the Father. In verse number 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled, speaking of Judas. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. See, Jesus is not a Savior that tried to get something done. But our Lord Jesus has the greatest of confidence always, doesn't he? As a man. The greatest of confidence, of greatest as a man, the complete and total of faith in what the Father has given him to do. And hard for us to delineate about the Lord Jesus being 100% man and 100% God. I mean, talking about a wrangling, we wrangle with that, but he is that way. All in one. And he says, I'm speaking this out loud, Father, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Because we need our joy filled up. How are you? How are you with joy? You're only going to have joy through your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And is it not, don't we see in just these few verses and what Brother John is writing about, that our joy will only be filled and complete because of Jesus and what He has done and what He has promised and what He is doing and what He has said that He will do in His promises and to us? Because everything in the world is going to fall short. Everything in the world is going to break down, fall apart, rust away, get off schedule. Every person in the world, as much as we would even love our nearest of family, is going to disappoint and have failure. We are not perfect. But our Lord Jesus is perfect. And He is the source of our joy. Next time we'll go in here into verse number 5, where the brother, he takes now, speaking about Jesus being our beginning. He is the beginning. He is the Word of life. It is fellowship that our Lord's design calls us to and brings us to in our knowledge of the Lord, our rejoicing in what He has done for us, is doing, and has promised us. Fellowship with our Creator, fellowship with our Heavenly Father, fellowship with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Full joy available to us in Him. And then now going to come back as he wrote in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, and dealing with this about light and darkness. Going to deal with that. Going to remind us about that. And so, Lord willing, we'll take that up next time that we deal with this passage and see about light and darkness and who fits and fills in those categories.